Okay.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee. What up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. But tonight, we got the Three Bros Fantasy Show as we kick off week six. Once again, I got my brother Jermaine. What's up, Jermaine? How you doing, bro?
What's going on, family? How you doing?
Another day, man. Another day, dog. Just glad to be living the life and be up here with my two bros. What's up, Carl?
What's up? What's up?
What's going on, man?
Oh, man.
What's up, man?
You good?
Man, like a bull.
I know you're watching that baseball game, ain't you?
Yeah, yeah. You could tell a little diamonds in my voice.
Yeah, they just had a rough, what was that, the fifth inning? Sixth inning?
Yeah, bro. It's tragic.
Yeah, hey, man, I almost
cut it off.
But back to the show. You know, me and my brothers, we've been playing fantasy football together for years. We done won championships. You know, we're very competitive when it comes to this. And you know, I was decided that, hey, why not do a show about fantasy football? So tonight we'll be talking about we're going to talk about the Le'Veon trade bill, what it means for fantasy. We're going to talk about the moves we made this week that either caused us to win or lose. And then we'll get into people you should possibly sit for the week. And then we'll give you the people you should definitely hire your lineup for the week. There was no Thursday night game, so we ain't got to worry about reviewing the Thursday night game. But the news of the week concerning fantasy, I'm going to come to you first, Jermaine, on this one, is Le'Veon Bell going to the Chiefs. When
Man.
You first saw the news, what was the first thing you thought?
Man, those guys, man, the Super Bowl is pretty much in the bag. I was shocked because personally I thought he was going to go maybe just to Miami just to get some get back versus the Jets. Man, I know there's a lot of fantasy owners mad today, man. Clyde Hillier, McCoy, Darrell Williams, man, that backfield now is a mess when it comes to fantasy, man. So, but in real terms, I think it's going to make them unstoppable because you can put both of them guys on the field at once. So I think it's going to make, man, it's going to make them pretty much unguardable now, man, with him and possibly Hillier on the field together at the same time.
All right, Carl, I'm going to come to you with this question because I know me and you talked about this on the preview show that Clyde Hillier was going to get drafted in the top part of the first round due to Damian Williams opting out and him really not having any serious competition as far as touches. And I know that played a lot in my choice of drafting him in the first round. And I think you took him in the first round in the league, I think. So how do you feel about being a Clyde Edwards-Helaire owner, being that they have Le'Veon now? Carl, you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, I say you're looking at maybe the depth of Helaire. I mean, he may step up to the plate, but Le'Veon, I mean, he could be competition, but I'm kind of thinking the talent of Helaire may override it, whatever he brings to the table. It's like when we brought Fournette to Tampa. It's like, okay, you're here, but what do you still got to compete. And he couldn't, apparently, he couldn't compete with the Jets, or his attitude got him shipped on. And I don't see Ed Reed putting up with that too long either. So I see. I would hold on to him if I was the owner, and maybe try to trade him if he had a good game for a hot commodity to fill a hole on my team. But I would still start him.
Yeah, man. The only thing I worry about watching Kansas City a couple times this year is Clyde can't score on no goal line touches, man. He struggles. Mm-hmm. He actually loses yards on his goal line touches, and I think that's what Le'Veon might excel at, is getting in the end zone on the goal to goals, whereas Clyde is struggling. I think Clyde will probably be the – I think he's going to be the running back, and I think Le'Veon is going to be the change of pace running slash wide receiver back, because he can catch the ball out the backfield. You know, they might use them two like Cleveland was using Chubb and Hunt. You know, they will have both of them in the game at the same time. So which one do you key on when both of them can catch balls? So, but as a Clyde, as an Edwards-Helaire owner, I'm a little worried when it comes to the goal line touches, but I'm not worried when it comes to the overall, his rushing attempts, and probably his receiving probably go down, but I think his rushing attempts will probably remain the same. And if you watch the Chiefs, they have to run the ball more, because what teams are doing now is rushing three, dropping eight, playing zone, and you have to be able to run the ball against that. So maybe both of them will have time to eat, you know, like Chubb and Hunt were doing. But I still think Helaire will get most of the rushing, most of the rushing attempts, and I think Le'Veon will probably be the third down change of pace back. Well, at least I'm hoping so, being a Clyde owner.
Yeah, I think that Bell, like you said, move. I think he's going to get those goal line carries, man. And like you said, 20 to, between the 20s, it's going to be Clyde. 5 and in, 10 and in, it's going to be Bell time, man. Bell excels in the red zone.
Well, I expect that early, but that's only because he doesn't know the offense yet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I don't think Andy really going to give him, because really what do the Kansas City running backs really do, though? They either do flares, they rarely run throw screens to the running backs. They normally throw screens to the wide receivers. The running backs really don't they not tasked to know a lot, it seemed like to me. Outside of the wide receivers, you know, the wide receivers, you know, you got the jet sweep, you got the fake jet sweep, you got the reverse, you got the wide receiver screens. Whereas the running backs, it seems like they are very simplistic in the way they use them.
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen those guys do a fake running back screen, turn right around and do a fake wide receiver screen, and then dump it off to Kelce for a doggone tight end screen. It's nuts. They will use it.
Yeah.
I think Le'Veon actually, if he can get it going, he's gonna make their passing attack even better. Because you still have a threat at a run right now, but you know, people look at he's a rookie. But when people see Le'Veon out there, and especially if he getting off, man, that's a threat.
Yeah. But the question is this though. Before we move on, who on Kansas City offense are you going to start? Period. Besides Mahomes and Kelce,
Tyreek.
Boy, that's a tough. Yeah, Tyreek and Tyreek.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tyreek.
See me, I would start Clyde, but everybody else after that. I definitely am not a Watkins fan, as we all know. And then Hardman is okay, but, you know, him and Robinson are up and down. So they're not like every week starters. You might have to throw them in there based on a matchup or a bye week. But outside of that, they ain't regular starters. So your regular starters going to be Clyde, Tyreek, Kelce, Mahomes. That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
They got that is the epitome of a team. It's not a whole. It's not you know, a superstar amongst them, except for the quarterback, which is cool. And Kelsey. But
yeah, that's just like Green Bay. There's only three starters on Green Bay. You gonna start? I mean, Tanyan is a starter now, though.
Yeah, Tanyan.
You gotta start Tanyan now. So Green Bay has four too. They got a tight end now, who's actually a wide receiver, but they got him listed as a tight end. But yeah, I'm with you, Carl, man. It ain't like certain teams where, you know, you only go start one player off that team. Like Baltimore right now, you gonna start on the Andrews. And maybe Lamar, because they got like a full three back committee. If you look at the snaps, man, you can't have no running back like that, dog.
Hey, bro. Hey, LA Rams too, y'all. LA Rams is modal too, man. Akers, Malcolm Brown, the Henderson kid. You don't know who to start.
Yeah, man. Well, let's get into it, Carl. I'm gonna come to you, big bro, on this one. I don't know why I call you big bro, and I'm older than you. Hey, but look, man. Last week you made a suggestion about us doing a segment on moves that we made on all fantasy teams. They either led us to winning or losing a game. So I'm going to come to you, man. What move cost you the game or cost you to win the game or cost you to lose a game?
Man, okay. So, man, you know, and it's hard to say this actually lost me the game, but when I'm looking at the stats, I wish I had started golf against the Washington football team because I ended up losing this week to this guy by 2 points.
And if I had started
golf, who put 50 points up, I'd have blew the
you would have blown him out.
Yep. I'd have blown him out. So he had no wins. I gave him his first win, knocked me out of first place.
All right, so let me ask you this, bro. So you went from first to second place, but you're still in the playoff race, right?
Oh, yeah. I just don't lose.
All right. Okay, so what quarterback did you start over Goff?
A man who's out for the season.
Damn. I know that injury hurt you, bro.
It did, but you know, but at least I have a capable backup.
Goff, yeah.
Yeah. See, you know, when I do my draft, little message for the listeners. I try to get not a bum quarterback to back up. I try to get a quarterback that's right there with my starter. And so if something go down like this, I can still survive.
Yeah.
You know, all right, Jermaine. Dropping and moving on.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But you know what, though? I'm a Redskins fan, but that injury hurt me, man. I felt bad for Dak, man. That man did everything right to get paid, and they still won't pay him. And next year they ain't gonna pay him again because he's gonna have to prove that he healthy. It's like, damn, dog. So, all right, Dak, man, send the prayers your way, man. Get well soon, and hopefully the Cowboys do right by you, man. All right, Jermaine, what was the winning or losing move that you did or didn't make last weekend?
Yeah, bro. He helped me out a lot. Former Redskin, man. I was so mad when we got rid of him, man. Jamison Crowder, bro.
Kirk Cousins.
Crowder. Crowder came through, man. Against Arizona, because I took a gamble, you know, with dude, I don't even know. The receivers are so bad in New York. I don't know whoever starts in the outside with Patrick Peterson guarding him, but I knew the slot was going to be open. And he went off for 8 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown, and scored me 25 points. So with him, it was between him and Shelnut from Jacksonville. But I went on ahead and he paid off, man. He's been going off. Ever since last year, he's been getting, like, pretty much 100 yards every game he's played this year. So, yeah, man, that's my man right there, bro.
You know what's crazy? Is I had Crowder as a sit last week.
Oh.
Remember on our show? I was like, I was going to sit Crowder because of Flacco.
Yeah.
Because Darnold seems to go to Crowder. Like, Crowder is his security blanket. Not a running back, not a tight end, but Crowder. So I didn't know whether or not Flacco was going to have the same link with Crowder as Darnold did. But, hey, I was definitely wrong about that one. But on with you, Carl, man, the move that I made last week, and it's finally going to hurt your heart when I say this, is I should have started Goff over Brady.
Wow. Yeah.
Goff scored. He outscored Brady almost 2-1. I want to say 3-1, actually. And I ended up losing my game by 3 points.
Oh, man, that hurt. Yeah, that hurt.
But the bad part was I had Keenan Allen on Monday night. He scored a touchdown, and then he was out for the rest of the game. So I was like, damn. So I'm looking at it because, you know, normally you can't predict injuries. But Goff, I should have started Goff. And that really hurt me because actually it was 2 moves I messed up on. I should have played Gaskins over Gibson. Because he outscored Gibson by 10, so I still could have won. But the bad part about it was I would be 3-2 sitting in 5th place, but now 2-3 sitting in 8th place on the outside looking in. So that loss really hurt me because I would still be in playoff contention. But, you know, you live and you learn. This week is a new week. New strategy, you know. So, let's kick it off, man. Jermaine.
Yes, sir.
Who is a quarterback that you're looking to sit this week?
Man, you know, he did good for me last week, man. Bridgewater versus the Chicago. Chicago, man, you already know with Khalil Mack and them boys, the pass rush is going to be consistent, and even though he's played well, I don't think he's going to have a great day against that secondary and that defense, man. Him and Robbie, you know, been going good. I just don't think it's going to happen this week for him. So definitely I would say him. Any other week so far, he's been rolling. But I'm not starting no one against Chicago unless it's like Rodgers or Mahomes or somebody like that. So. Yeah.
All right. I had Bridgewater as a sit too. Who you got, Carl?
Mm-hmm. I got Joe Burrow as a sit versus Indy. That Indy defense. Baltimore welcomed him to the NFL last week, and Indy is gonna probably put him down for the rest of the year.
You got punched in the mouth, bro.
Yeah, bro.
He got his welcome. He got his true welcoming.
Yeah, bro, dude. 5 fantasy points, bro. Come on.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He need to sit on down somewhere.
Yeah. I think Burrow is a guy that you got to look at the matchup and base your start on him based on matchup. I think you'll see him being streamed a lot instead of consistently on somebody roster. You know, somebody probably pick him up when he's playing, like, let's say the Jets. Somebody might pick him up against the Jets, you know, but I don't see him being on somebody's roster every week.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going with the same game that that Jermaine with. I'm going with Nick Foles, man. I think Nick Foles is a sit this week, man. If you really take a look at it, Carolina has really been tough against quarterbacks this year. They got a good back end. They linebackers can cover, even though they can't produce a solid pass rush because K'Wan's short. He's out for the year now. They have been holding down quarterbacks, and I think Nick Foles is going to struggle, especially going on the road and playing at Carolina. Even though ain't no fans in the stand, you still got to get on the plane. You still got to travel. And I think Carolina I think they're going to hold Nick Foles down. I think that Bears and Panthers game is going to come down to which team can run the ball. Whichever team can run the ball is going to be the team to win. So, yeah, I got Nick Foles as a sit this week. All right, Carl. What's the running back you looking at sitting this week?
Well, back to the I'm looking back to the Indy game, Joe Mixon. Because they won't be able to pass the ball worth or nothing, I don't see that the running game is going to get going.
Okay.
Yeah, and also Indy has an underrated defense too. Even though Leonard is out, they still played good last week against they kind of held down Cleveland's running game. So, yeah, I can see that. But you hate sitting your first round. I think I took him in the second round. I didn't take him in the first round.
Oh,
but
no.
He was
the first rounder for me.
Okay.
He was the first rounder. And if you don't have, a three-headed back, you know, on your team, then you can bring him up from your flat.
Yeah, yeah.
And then put a wide receiver in there. You know, you could be in some trouble this week with Mixon. I just, you know, I got him like that in one of mine, and I still have him starting because I got three number one running backs, and Carson is on bye, so I had to bring up a doggone wide receiver to flex.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, man. Which running back you looking at? All right, man, which running back you looking at sitting this week?
Definitely Melvin Gordon, bro, because you guys heard about the news, man. You know, he got that DUI, and the news today was talking about, he's under the weather. So that puts his status in jeopardy, man, even playing. So this would be a good time for those owners of Gordon to pick up Lindsey. He just got back from injury. He should be playing this week. A lot of production, man. He's been going off, man. But yeah, I would definitely sit him with his status up in the air right now.
Well, the crazy part is I live out here in Denver, of course. And when it came out that he got the DUI, I was like, where the hell is he at? Man, ain't no world. I mean, what party was he at? Because ain't nowhere to go out here. But living out here, a lot of the Bronco fans were really puzzled by signing Melvin Gordon. Why would you sign Melvin Gordon when you have Phillip Lindsay? Lindsay has been productive for your team, and he's on a rookie deal, and Freeman has played his role as being the change of pace back, who is also on a rookie deal. You could have used that money to shore up your offensive line, which is your weakest unit on your team. So a lot of I was puzzled by them signing Gordon, but I understand, you know, man, John Elway, you know, he got to try to make a splash, but that was the wrong splash to make, man. You got to go out and get secure. Make your offensive line better, especially when you got a rookie quarterback and that's your weakest unit. But, man, I'm going with the guy I'm looking at sitting this week, although I think they got a favorable matchup, is Mark Ingram, man. I can't.
Yeah.
Baltimore, I can't get a hold of their running back situation. The first week, the goal line carries went to J.K. Dobbins. The second week, they went to Mark Ingram. The third week, it was Gus Edwards. It's like, man, what are y'all doing? Y'all need to like figure out who y'all lead back. Because running back can't get a rhythm when they being switched out. Because basically they all playing like 30-some percent of the snaps. I'm like, damn, how you doing that? So they all playing like 30% of the snaps. So, man, until Baltimore figures out who they lead back is, I think I'm with Carl. I think I want to start none of them, man, until I find out who the lead dog. But I think the lead dog should be Dobbins. Dobbins is more explosive. So I just don't understand why they just won't commit to Dobbins and let Ingram and Edwards get in where they fit in. So, hey, it is what it is. All that we can do is wait and hopefully they figure it out before the playoffs start, the fantasy football playoffs start, so you can make your, you know, formulate your lineup. But coming at you, Carl, man, what? No, this came at you, right? I'm coming at you this time. What wide receiver are you looking at sitting this week, Carl?
I'm sitting Sammy Watkins versus Buffalo. Two reasons. One, you know, he's playing with Kansas City, and he's not really doing much. Or should I say, maybe they're not targeting him much. I don't really know what to call it. But regardless of that, the Buffalo's only giving up 19 points for fantasy wide receiver. So when you got a team that doesn't heavily focus on you to target, why start you against the defense that's going to do that to you?
Yeah. Plus, I think he out this week. I think he got a hamstring or something. But, you know, Sammy Watkins is a guy that has so much talent. But in fantasy, he going to give you one game. And normally it's the first game of the season, and then he'll disappear the rest of the year. Because remember last year, first game, he went crazy the first game last year. Then this year, the first game, he went crazy. And he ain't done nothing since, man. So it's like, I just don't know about Sammy Watkins. He's too talented to be such a non-factor in fantasy football.
All right, I don't know what the problem is.
I think it's when he see everybody else eating, it's like, why ain't I eating? It's like, bro, you gonna get your chance. Just run your routes and do what you're supposed to do. But I just don't know what it is with Sammy, man. I just don't understand him. All right, Jermaine, what's a wide receiver you looking at sitting this week?
And I'm thinking of Robbie Anderson, man. He's going against Chicago. Kyle Fuller, he's one of the top cornerbacks in the league. And, again, overall, I think, you know, outside of maybe Mike Davis having a halfway decent day, I don't think Bridgewater is going to be able to give him the ball consistently. Right now, Chicago, they're giving up the second fewest points to wide receivers right now. Their pass defense is solid. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game for Carolina, and he's not going to get a whole bunch of opportunities this week.
Man, boy, I swear I think you'd be cheating off my test. I got Robbie Anderson too. And I put the same reason. I said Chicago defense and probably matched up against Fuller. But I had an alternate. I'm going with Tyler Boyd, man. Tyler Boyd has definitely become the number one wide receiver for Cincinnati. Like Carl said, Joe Burrow is going to struggle this week against that Indy defense. And I think Boyd is going to struggle because the quarterback is going to struggle. So if you got a better matchup out there, hey, look at going elsewhere outside of Tyler Boyd this week. Yeah, man. But actually, that's crazy because I had Tyler Boyd slash AJ Green. Actually, I had AJ Green as a cut. I put AJ Green as a cut. Don't even not just don't start. See whether or not you can pick up another player.
Yeah. Bruh, I had AJ Green on my list, and the only reason I didn't call him out is because I already called out two indie players. But this is what I wrote down for this guy. I said, dude doesn't want to play anymore.
Dude. Yeah, I think he's done,
oh,
man.
Man.
I mean, T. Higgins done passed him, man. So I picked him up. Carl, back to what you said just about Joe Mixon at the running back. Indeed, they're like an like top three or four against the run.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to force him to pass, Burrow to
yeah.
pass, and he's going to make some mistakes this week, man.
Brad,
yeah, man. Hell, you see what they did to Baker last week in the second half? He threw two interceptions. He just looked erratic in the second half. It's a good thing they built such a nice little lead in the first half, but Phillip Rivers did keep him in the game. So you know that's neither here nor there. So all right, Carl, give me a tight end you looking at sitting this week.
Oh, man, I'm sitting Tyler Higbee like nobody's business.
Yeah.
Dude, hey, look, they projected him to score 4 points, okay? He only scored 3 touchdowns all year, and that's week 2. Nothing since. He going up against Sam Brand, who, listen, today tight end against San Francisco, 1 point. 0.5 points, 2 points, 3 points, and 2 points. Who are we sitting this week, ladies and gentlemen?
but you know what, Higbee, he's going to be a guy you're going to have to look at for the rest of the year because he's one of them tight. I mean, most tight ends are, but he's a touchdown or bust guy. If he don't get a touchdown, then he ain't doing your team any good. So, if you got Higbee on your team, you might want to look elsewhere. You might want to try to swing a trade with somebody that has two good tight ends or a good tight end and a serviceable one. Or you might have to stream a tight end every week. I used to do that. In the old days, I would stream a tight end. But I'm really trying to get away from doing that because, you know, sometimes you just want to ride your team out. And actually, I listened to my big bro on that when he was like, man, you only, you know, sometimes you got to ride it out and see what happens. So I'm trying that approach this year. So, hey, Higbee, honest, beware of Gerald Everett. Gerald Everett is a better player than him. Gerald Everett just can't stay healthy. All right, man, give me a tight end. You looking at sitting this week, bro?
Definitely Zach Ertz, y'all. Man, what's going on with Zach Ertz, man? This is crazy. It's like Twilight Zone with him, dude. The last two games, he's got 5 catches for 15 yards. 15 yards. And he's going against Baltimore this week, which is very stingy against the tight end. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if he's playing hurt. And everybody already knows Carson Wentz isn't playing well either. I just don't see him breaking out this week at all. And, you know, Goddard, he's been gone. He's on IR. So I guess teams are right now centering on Ertz not to let him beat them. So Zach Ertz is definitely on the bench this week.
Man, I just think I kind of blame the Philly play calling on the coach. They coach, he just don't seem to be aware of how dire straits his offensive line is. Your offensive line is porous, dog. You don't match protect. You don't do chips. You don't do checkdowns. And then you can't devise plays to get Ertz open. I just don't understand. Maybe Philly needs to go with the two. Well, damn, Goddard hurt. I was thinking maybe they need two tight end set to be more to give, you know, Carson those intermediate throws where you picking up 4 or 5 yards instead of the 10-yard outs, you know, the post. I just don't understand what Doug Peterson is doing when you know your team is flawed at the offensive line. It's just watching them, I just be like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm going with Dalton Schultz as my sit, man. I noticed a trend here lately with Dalton Schultz. The more CeeDee Lamb is being targeted, the less he's being targeted.
Mm-hmm.
His targets have went down and CDs have gone up. And I kind of sort of understand that because CD plays the slot. And he's and CD is more explosive than Schultz. And with Andy Dalton in there, maybe this will turn around. But I just think Mike McCarthy's play calling isn't designed for tight ends except up the seam. Everything else is for wide receivers and running backs. So
never been McCarthy. Always been about those guys.
Yeah, always wide receivers.
That's why he liked to run 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. So Dalton Schultz, if he on your team, keep an eye on his targets, keep an eye on his routes, and you might just have to drop him and go elsewhere and see whether or not you can find some production elsewhere, probably with an Eric Ebron, Cameron Brait, Darren Fells for Houston, you know. So, because, Carl, you picked out Jonnu Smith for a couple weeks back, right?
Man, I might have picked him up and dropped him.
Yeah, you do.
Little bye week love, move up from the practice squad.
All right. Because I know you was looking at him. But look, man, let's get into the best part of the show. Let's tell the people who they should have in their lineup this week. All right, Jermaine, coming at you. Give us a quarterback you're looking at starting this week.
Man, I'm going to go up on a limb because he's been playing well, man. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick versus the Jets. Fitzmagic, y'all. He's been scored 20 points or more 4 games in a row. And he has 3 with over 28 points. And he's going against, you know, New York Jets, man. They are in total disarray with, I feel like, one of the worst head coaching hires. Which I don't know how this guy keeps getting jobs. Adam Gase. But, man, they're playing well, y'all. Preston Williams, along with Devontae Parker. You got Gesicki playing well. Gaskin's running the ball. I think they're going to put up a lot of points. And I think he's going to have a great day this week.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if Tua gets some snaps this week due to how bad they're going to be beating the Jets. I think Tua touches the field this week. We get a Tua sighting this week. All right, Carl, who you got as a start, bro?
Man, I'm starting Kirk Cousins against Atlanta, man. For a couple reasons. But one being, you know, Cook's out. So I think they're going to pass more. Atlanta's defense, as we all know, is in a perilous position. And four quarterbacks that face that defense have scored at least 40 points.
Wow.
This is a week to start that guy. If you question who to start, and you got two quarterbacks and one and both of them the same, start. He's not gonna let you down this week.
Man, okay. All right, I had I wrote down Phillip Rivers and Matt Stafford, but I'm going with Ryan Tannehill, man. I think Tannehill has definitely been a beneficiary of having a solid running game. With Henry back there, that play action just worked so much better. And then with them having A.J. Brown back, and then Jonnu was actually a good pass receiving tight end. But what makes Tannehill good is he still can run. Man, I think against Houston's defense, Houston's defense ain't what it used to be, man. They used to be a solid defense, but now they on, it's J.J. Watt, Merciless, and then I say Zach Cunningham as the linebacker. But everybody else, they just guys, man. So I look for Tannehill to stay hot this week and against Houston's defense. All right, Carl, give me a running back you looking at starting this week.
Oh, I'm starting your boy, your boys, the Washington football team's Antonio Gibson going against them, the Giants. I know a lot of people may not – he's gonna come up right now. He didn't score last week, but previously he scored three touchdowns in a row. So folks say the games of at least 10 points, and that's rather he's scoring or not. So I think going with the Giants, I think they're going to cut him loose today. I mean, cut him loose this weekend, and I think he won't disappoint at the running back position.
Man, I sure hope so, man, because last week I started him. And, man, boy, he laid an egg last week. But he laid an egg because of our quarterback situation last week. Because what the Rams going to do when Alex Smith come in? Really? When Kyle went out – all right, first of all, Kyle Allen, if anybody that knows Kyle Allen is listening to this show, you're a quarterback, not a damn running back. Slide or get out of bounds. What are you doing trying to take on DBs and safeties? Slide or get out of bounds. You knew what we had on the field last week. There was no Haskins. He wasn't going to suit up. And Alex Smith was the only guy available. Come on, man. Be smarter, dog. Damn. All right. Got that off my chest, dog. Go ahead, man. Give me a running back you're looking at starting, dog.
Man, with Big Cam back, bro, I like Damian Harris, man. Damian Harris, starting the season, I remember, doing a little bit of research on him, man, and they were raving about him in training, a little bit of camp that they had. And his first game, he got 100 yards. And that was with Josh Stidham and Hoyer playing. So you guys already know, man, it's going to be run heavy with Big Cam back there. I think he's going to do really well. Sony Michel, I think he doesn't have a grip on a starting job no more. And the only thing I'm concerned with is hopefully he'll get some a goal line carrier or one or two. But I think he's going to do really good, man. I think they're going to ride this young rookie, man.
Man, dog, I'm telling you, man. Boy, we all on the same wavelength. I had Antonio Gibson and Damian Harris also. So I'm going to go this way, man. And this guy has definitely let me down this week, this year so far. But I'm going with the Arizona backfield of Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds going against Dallas on Monday night. As we all know, Dallas defense is leaky as hell.
Yeah.
I think with what both Drake and Edmonds brings to the table as far as being able to catch the ball and run it, and with them being concerned about D-Hop, I think that's going to open up running lanes. And I look for both Drake and Edmonds to have solid games. But if I was to choose one, I would hope that it's Drake. But I'm leaning more towards Chase Edmonds having the bigger game because they don't run him and let him catch the ball a little bit, even though Drake can catch it also. But I think Chase Edmonds is the running back slash catching back also. All right, Cole, wide receiver you looking at starting this week?
Man, I did a little looking at this one. I'm looking at starting Michael Gallup versus that Arizona defense. Last week when I was watching the game after Dalton came in, Gallup was his man. I mean, that's who he was throwing. And when they got time, crunch time, he was throwing it to Gallup. And I think his production is going to increase with Zach out.
The crazy part is, man.
Hopefully he's getting the doggone end zone.
The crazy part is, man, I was thinking about cutting Gallup, man. He just wasn't doing that. It was just, I was going to cut Gallup because somebody had dropped Edelman. And I'm like, Cam and Edelman got like a little thing going. But I'm going to keep Gallup. But, man, he just ain't doing what he did last year or what he was projected to do. But, once again, we only in week six, though. So, we'll see what happens. All right, man, what wide receiver are you looking at starting this week?
Man, the game you just got to talking about with Dallas and Arizona, Christian Kirk, I feel he's going to go off because of what you just talked about, y'all. But about Hopkins, he's going to get a lot of the attention. Kirk, he's had 12 targets in the last couple of games. I think since it's going to be high scoring, I'm confident that he's going to probably get over 100 yards, man, and take advantage of that other side of Dallas' defense this week. And Dallas, like you just said earlier about being a seed, they're allowing the second most points to wide receivers so far this year. So the Hopkins, which you know you're going to get the ball, I think Kirk is going to be steadily fed in this game too, y'all.
Man. All right. So nobody cheese off my paper on that one. I wrote down T.Y. Hilton. I wrote down T.Y. Hilton, LaVisca Chenault, and A.J. Brown. But I'm going to go deep on this one, man. I'm going with Chenault, man. Jacksonville going against Detroit. DJ Shark is their number one, but he's kind of been in and out of the lineup this year. And Gardner Minshew has definitely been coming to Chenault. And against Detroit, who doesn't have they got an okay secondary, but they got zero to no pass rush. So I would look at Chenault going against that Detroit defense, man. Especially if you got like a Tyler Boyd this week going against Andy, or you got Robbie Anderson going against Chicago, look at maybe putting Chenault in there to probably get your offensive spark at the wide receiver spot. But I'm going to ask you guys this, though, while we're on the wide receiver position. I wrote down T.Y. Hilton. Bro, what's going on with T.Y. Hilton, man?
Man, I wrote him down too, y'all. I don't know what's going on with him, man. He did have his best game last week, 69 yards. But, man, that's a good one. What do you think, Carl?
Well, I don't watch enough of Indy play, but for the talent that I know T.Y. has, the only thing I can think of is wrong with him. It ain't health. It's the offense and it's Phillip Rivers. He got to give him the ball. You got to force your star wide receiver the ball sometime to get him going, and I don't think he's doing that.
Yeah, man. I know watching the game last week. T.Y. was open a couple times, and Phillip just couldn't get on the ball, man. It was like one time, I think they had like a third and five, a third and six or something, and T.Y. ran a crossing route, and Phillip Rivers threw the ball like 5 yards in front of him. It's like, damn, bro. I know you're supposed to lead the wide receiver, but damn, where you leading them to? So,
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I saw T.Y. Hilton on a lot of waiver wires this week. A lot of people don't lost confidence in T.Y. But,
I did hear
from my homeboy that's an Indy fan and a season ticket holder that Jacoby Brissett took more snaps this week in practice.
He should have been a starter. He should have been a starter this year. To me, man. And I was upset when they signed Rivers. He played well with what he had. He did, and he can get T.Y. the ball.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you know what? In football, when you have a star player like that, they got what you call get it to him plays. And they haven't executed any get-it-to-him plays to get him going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Because even if you got to throw a bubble screen, you know, just something to get the ball in their hand, you know, just to get them in the flow of the game. So,
right.
Yeah, T.Y., man, keep your head up, bro. I think Jacoby going to be in there before soon, man, especially if Rivers can't do much this week against the Bengals. So, all right, Jermaine, give me a tight end. You starting this week.
Man, I'm going for Ebron. Ebron versus Cleveland. ESPN, they had a great piece on that game. And the middle of the field versus Cleveland, they got some. They have some major problems. The safety Zendejo, he's absolutely garbage. And they were just showing him getting beat over and over and over again. And they mentioned that Pittsburgh, their defense is really excellent outside on the edges. So I think Ben is going to really exploit that middle of that defense. I think he's going to have a great game. And currently, you know, Cleveland, they're giving up the eighth most points to tight ends as well as that. So I can definitely say Ebron is going to rip them apart this week, y'all.
Actually, man, Cleveland haven't been able to defend tight ends for at least the last 6 or 7 fantasy years. I think they've been the worst team against tight ends for at least the last 6 or 7 fantasy years. Every time you look at other settlement stardoms, every time it's Cleveland, you'll always see the opposing tight end. They, like, play that tight end against Cleveland. I think it's their scheme, man. They scheme allows for tight ends to get off. So, hey, Carl, who you got as a tight end you looking at starting this week?
Man, nah, y'all may fight me on this, but I'm just looking at
You better
at,
not say Gronk.
Nah, it's Jimmy Graham. Tight end.
I want him down.
Okay, so you know, and the main reason is it's not so much that he's a great matchup because he doesn't. It's just that he is coming into his own offense, and I think the foes in there, he's gonna feed him a little more. So you know, he got four touchdowns in 5 weeks. So he's getting in the end zone, which is what's important. It ain't yards. It's getting in the end zone, especially at the tight end position. And few and far between as they are with the tight end, if you got a tight end such as him that's consistently getting into the end zone, you put him in your starting lineup.
Yeah, man. I wrote the same thing down. I say Carolina defense is going to be tough against wide receivers, so Jimmy Graham should be open. And he probably be the red zone target. But I know you said not to start Higbee, so I'm going with start Gerald Everett. Hey, man. The only reason I say start Everett against San Francisco is because he's more athletic and more dynamic than Higbee. I think you can do more things with Everett than you can with Higbee in that offense. And I think Warner, the middle linebacker, will be lined up probably on Higbee, and they'll probably have a safety lined up on Everett. And I think Everett will just have a better matchup in this game, being that the Rams are definitely switched up to going with more two wide receiver, two tight end sets. So in that set, I like Everett, but when they go to the three wide receiver, one tight end, if that one tight end is Higbee, he's going to get shut down. So I would look at starting Gerald Everett this week against San Francisco, not Higbee. All right, Carl, give me a defense you looking at starting this week.
Do I want to start any? Hey, I'm say. How about this? Nah, I'm not even gonna go there. Cause obviously, if I'm starting defense, I got a choice. I'm starting either New England or Indy, for sure. But more so Indy because I expect bro. I wish I had any defense. Because right now,
going
I got Indy. Yeah, going against the Bengals. That's like a must start. What they say on Yahoo, that's a 5-star.
Actually, I didn't even write Indy down because I know they got a solid matchup. I didn't even write them down because I know they had a solid matchup. But I did see in one of my leagues, New England's defense was available. I tried to pick them up, but I guess I was too low in the waiver wire to get them. So,
yeah.
What defense you looking at starting, man?
Man, I feel bad, Moo. Man, I got to start the New York Giants versus us, man. It hurts my heart, bro. But, man, we are just so pathetic on offense that it's sad, man. But it hurts. But, yeah, man, I don't think we're going to be able to move the ball outside of maybe McLaurin a little bit. The running game, I mean, they're playing good defense as far as the Giants are concerned. It's just that they're just turning over the ball a lot. So I really don't think Kyle Allen is the answer. I don't have no faith in him as far as being able to, you know, consistently run that offense. So I'm going with the Giants this week.
God damn, boy, you know how to kick a boy in the balls, boy. I'm going with Washington this week. Start the Washington football team defense this week. Against the Giants. That's right. My first homer pick. Go with the Washington football team defense. Daniel Jones is prone to turn the ball over. They got a bad O-line. So I think our defensive line can definitely wreak some havoc. So it ain't many games. I'm going to say start our defense. But this is one of them. If you had a Washington football team defense, play them with confidence. Hear it here.
Man.
I also had New England and Miami as two other defenses I would look at starting. New England, because they're going against Drew Lock, and you know Bill Belichick terrorizes young quarterbacks. So, yeah, man, go on Washington. All right, man, real quick. Man, give me a sleeper this week.
Man, sleeper, gosh, man. If we can get him the ball, and I'm not trying to be a homer, but Logan Thomas, man, the dude has so much potential. And at the beginning of the year, he was seeing by the average about 7 targets. I think that now, even though New York, they're not giving a whole lot, I'm hoping that the game plan this week is to really get him to really try to get him the ball. So I'm going out on a big, deep limb, but I'm just saying, man, I'm going to throw out Logan Thomas this week, y'all.
And I think Thomas, if you look at it, he's definitely had a case of the alligator arms here lately where he doesn't go full out for passes. And I think that comes from Haskins leaving him, hanging him off the dry and getting blown up. But he needs to realize he's a tight end. A tight end, you're going to get hit. Most of your passes are going to be in the middle of the field. So ain't no need to have no – yeah, because you're going to get hit whether you catch it or not. They still going to hit you, so you might as well catch the ball.
Yeah.
All right, Carl, give me a sleeper.
Linebackers and safeties going to wear you out, plain and simple.
That's right.
You know, I was a tight end, so They be scared of them rascals.
All right, Carl, give me a sleeper, bro.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with... Oh, man. I hate these. I'm going to tell you somebody who I hope won't let me be here. He might and might not even play Bruno. I'm gonna bring Odell out, man. I think he going up against Pittsburgh, and I think your boy is gonna come out with his his normal cockiness, and he gonna get the ball, bro. I think he's slowly coming back to himself, and I mean, obviously, most people are gonna start him just off his name, but that wise, he's starting to get himself back together. So I think him against Pittsburgh giving up some points. So we'll see.
Yeah,
that's
right now.
That's funny you say that.
Yeah, they said he's still up because of that. He did get a negative COVID test, y'all. But he was saying earlier that he needs that second negative COVID test to be able to play. So if he gets that, yeah, if he's clear to go, yeah, that's a solid.
Man, I love my brother, but I'm benching Odell this week, and I'm going with Claypool over Odell. I mean, I just, and it ain't because of Odell, it's because of Baker. I just think Baker's going to be under intense pressure that he ain't going to be able to perform. So I think Landry is the guy. Landry and Joku and Hooper will be guys I would look at starting for Cleveland this week before Odell, just because they run the short, the intermediate stuff, whereas normally Odell runs the deep stuff. So that's why I took him out of my lineup, and I'm going with Claypool. But my sleeper this week is a former Redskin, man. I'm going with Adrian Peterson, man, against Jacksonville.
Okay.
Adrian Peterson has definitely become the lead back for Detroit, and Jacksonville run defense ain't the stoutest. So I think Adrian Peterson might be able to get off against them. Plus, a couple of years ago, I want to say he had like a 90-yard touchdown run against them when he was playing with the Skins. So, hey, if you don't have a better option, don't be scared to put Adrian Peterson in your lineup this week. Well, once again, we had a lot of fun tonight. You know, we done told you who to take out of your lineup, who to possibly put in your lineup. Good luck on setting your lineups and all that good stuff. So, any last words, Jermaine?
Man, I would tell you, I think it's a crazy game. I think it's going to be definitely watch the Atlanta-Minnesota game. I think it's going to be fun to watch in the one Monday night, the Cardinals versus the Dallas Cowboys. I can't wait to watch it. Other than that, everybody be safe.
Yeah, look like his call dropped. So, hey, once again, this is the Three Bros Fantasy Football Show. Every Friday we're gonna get break y'all off with some advice. We're gonna give y'all some good insight. Actually, I want to say last week we probably didn't do too good in our sits last week. Because I know some people, we said sit, and they actually had good games. But we actually been doing really good with our starts. And my brother Jermaine didn't say start James Robinson this week. So evidently, James Robinson is a must start and must stay in your lineup. All right, with that being said, everybody have a good night, a good weekend. Everybody stay safe. Wash your hands and wear your mask. Peace.
Peace.